The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Welcome to Vox Populi, where the people speak their truth. Today's journey takes us through the extraordinary life of Ryan Wardman, a man who has redefined the art of living on the edge. In the next 2 hours, we will navigate the uncharted territories of a soul unbound by convention, a spirit that thrives on the pursuit of truth, and a heart that beats for freedom. Ryan's story begins in the enigmatic shadows of Egypt's ancient pyramids. In 2020, amidst the rising sands and timeless echoes of history, Ryan experienced a transformational moment that set the course for his incredible journey. It was here, against the backdrop of these ancient marvels, that Ryan's quest for a deeper understanding of the world took on a new, urgent direction. As the world grappled with the unprecedented challenges of COVID-19, Ryan stood firm in his convictions. Refusing vaccination and PCR tests, he navigated the tumultuous waters of global uncertainty with a compass of truth and a map of meticulous research. His tale is not just one of rebellion against the mainstream narrative, but an exploration of an alternative path, guided by a deep-seated belief in personal sovereignty and well-being. Imagine a life where every day is an odyssey, a continuous journey through history's most mysterious and breathtaking sights. From the Teotihuacan pyramids to the hidden alleys of Stockholm, where a mysterious orb encounter shifted his perspective on life, Ryan's travels are more than a mere adventure. They're a testament to the human spirit's unyielding desire for exploration and understanding. But Ryan's story is not without its trials. Amidst his global escapades, he faced profound personal losses, the kind that shake your core and reshape your understanding of life. These experiences, heart-wrenching as they were, only fueled his quest for authenticity and understanding. Prepare to be whisked away to the bustling streets of Seville, the desolate beauty of the Sahara, and the ancient mysteries of Göbekli Tepe. As Ryan shares his insights from these diverse cultures and experiences, we'll discover not just the world's wonders, but also the universal truths that connect us all. Ryan Wardman is not your ordinary traveler. He is a modern-day philosopher, a seeker of truth, and a living embodiment of resilience and freedom. His journey challenges us to think beyond the ordinary, to question the known, and to bravely pursue the unknown. So, get ready as we embark on this remarkable journey, unraveling tales of uncharted quests, unearthing truths, and embracing the spirit of freedom on Vox Populi. Ryan Wardman is coming up next.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. Discover the Veritas Digest series on Amazon. Multiple volumes, each unveiling the truths they don't want you to know. It's more than just reading. It's an awakening. Secure your copies today. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's show. And now here's your host, Mel Hastelrich.
His website is Kovunark, KOVUNARK.com. And directly from Malta, I'd like to welcome Ryan Wardman. Hello, Ryan, and welcome to Veritas. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Mel. Pleasure to meet you.
Did I pronounce your name correctly, by the way?
You did, Ryan Wardman.
Yeah. And do you want me to call you Rye or Ryan?
I prefer Rye. People that know me call me Rye. It's what I always answer to.
Excellent. So this is Vox Populi. A lot of people, when they see these Vox Populi, are very anxious to know who I'm bringing. And a lot of you folks, you have probably saw the blog post I posted a few weeks ago, Rye emailed me a few months ago, I believe it was, telling me of his story. He actually traveled the world, navigating uncharted territory. But, you know, why don't I let you, Rye, tell us your story all the way from the beginning?
From my childhood or from the...
Yeah, start from the childhood so that we can get a perspective, sure.
So, as you guys can hear from the accent, I'm from England. I'm from York in Yorkshire. I was born in Scarborough, which is a coastal town, in October 1982. We spent my formative years in a town between York and Leeds. I went to a normal school. It was a Roman Catholic school, even though I'm not a Roman Catholic. The main part of my childhood was twofold. Sport, football. I was in a centre of excellence for Leeds United and York City. I played football at quite a high level until I was 13, 14. Life changed then. There were many, many events when I was 13. And my life has been punctuated by a very deep, profound relationship with the paranormal, with the occult, with the mysteries and the hidden side of life. And it was something that I understood very early on in my days that if I didn't follow this, it would haunt me. It would always follow me. There's no escape from it. And my mother especially has been very supportive of that. I remember her buying me books about, the first books I had were about UFOs, aliens, the paranormal. We'd have many discussions about it. As I grew, my father became more and more vocal with experiences that he had had in his life, and my grandmother as well. After college, because an injury put paid to my football career, I went to university in Leeds to study philosophy and English. I cut it short in the last year because I was finding that all I needed to do was regurgitate what the proctors had told me with the greatest of respect, and I would walk away with a 2-1 or a 1. And I went to Australia. I spent a few months there with some extended family and returned to England, convinced my best friend that we should do a trip around the world. We did 6 months together. And after that, because of the amount of people we'd met around the world that were bilingual, we were very jealous. Being from Britain, we're not known for mastering a second language. And it became a priority for me. And that compelled me to find a place to learn a second language. And my initial idea was Canada to learn French. But fate intervened and I had an accident on my birthday, which broke my leg and it delayed this trip. And a delay ended up being a completely different trajectory. I ended up going to Iceland to learn Icelandic. And initially it was just for a year. But I ended up spending a decade in Iceland. It was one of the greatest times of my life. I have so many fantastic memories from that time. I learned a great deal. Spent a year in Stockholm during that time. And then I went to Portugal, Netherlands, lived in Malta from 2017. And I guess we can pick up the story from Malta 2020.
So is that when you decided to venture on this multi-country trek during COVID?
It was the catalyst to some big changes. So 2020, I'd been in a relationship with a girl very dear to me, and we'd been together for 3 years. The relationship was at a crucial juncture. We were deciding some things about the future. She said to me, "I need to take a trip. I want us to go away so that I can have a few days to think." And I'd been pushing us to go to Egypt for a while because we would go every 5 or 6 weeks. We would take a trip somewhere, usually in Europe. She was great with that kind of thing. And Israel, we went there one time. That was phenomenal. And I said, okay, well, if you're going to go take a few days to convalesce and to think, then can we do it in Egypt so that I can fulfill a lifelong ambition of mine and go to the pyramids? And she was so kind enough to say yes. And this is just before COVID happened, before all of the lockdowns. This is February 2020. So we go there with a relationship at this juncture. She goes to think and I go to get some personal exploration in Giza.
So that moment, Egypt, it became a pivotal moment in your life. How so?
Yes. Yes, sir, it was. Now, the girl in question knew that Egypt is something I'd want. There are two main places on the earth that I would dearly love to see before I finish my days on this mortal coil. The first one was the pyramids of Egypt in Giza, and the second are the pyramids in Antarctica, which I'm sure you're very well aware of. And we both know how difficult it is to
get there.
Serious access here to Antarctica. It's, as you know, it's very, very highly restricted. You have to apply months in advance. I know that you've spoken many times on Veritas about Antarctica and the land beyond, like extra terra. There's all of the maps. There's all of the Admiral Byrd and all of the anecdotes from his journey there. I'm fascinated by that area of the world, but obviously Egypt was a more achievable, attainable location. And she knew that it was important for me to be at Giza the first day alone. So we arrived in Cairo, spent the day in the old town, saw some of the sights of old Cairo. And then the second day, we knew that she would be at the hotel and I would go alone to Giza. And when I think about it now, and this is years ago, I think of it now and what happened on the way there, and it's full circle. Because the driver was a guy called Ahmed, and he was such a proud Egyptian. And the trip from the hotel to Giza was about 45 minutes to an hour, if I remember rightly. And he was playing the most beautiful music on the way there. And it was setting the tone. And my energy, my feeling in the car, I was almost nervous because I didn't know how I was going to feel, because it had been my life's goal to get there and I never thought it would happen. It always seemed remote and distant. And he's playing this beautiful music and it's so atmospheric and I can feel the energy in the car as we're talking about the pyramids. And suddenly in the distance as we approach Giza, I saw them, and I'm sure you've been there, sir, and it's a feeling like nothing else. What that does to you, just seeing them alone, changes you.
I haven't, by the way. That's in bucket list.
You haven't?
Yeah, believe it or not, I have not. Not yet.
I can't explain. If I can't explain to you, it's the one place on earth that it's inimitable. I've been to the pyramids in Teotihuacan as well in Mexico. We'll get to that later on. But there's nothing like Egypt. It is still to this day the greatest thing I've ever seen in my days here. There's nothing like it. And I could see them from the car in the distance. And I'm not a guy who spends tears easily. I don't cry ever. But I couldn't help be overcome with emotion. I started to weep. And he pulls the car over to the side of the road. And he knew that I wasn't the kind of tourist that was going there for a snapshot in front of the McDonald's. And he knew that what we had been speaking about, it meant a great deal to me. I feel like when you go to Egypt, you're meeting history. You're meeting the bedrock of civilization. And he held my hands and we started to cry because he knew how profound this moment was for me. I arrived there and I started at Menkaure, which is the smallest of the three major pyramids. And I actually liked that one the most. It was the most dignified and the most modest and proud. Spent some time in Khafre. Obviously, I went into Khufu as well, the Great Pyramid. I paid one of the wardens some money to allow me to be in the top of the Great Pyramid on my own. That whole experience of climbing through there was unreal. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the main thing that I wanted to do was, you've had Michael Thesari on as a guest, I believe, like season two, is that right?
Season one, I think it was, yeah.
Was it? My mistake. He has a show, and I heard a speaker on his show one time talk about something called the Black Pyramid. Have you heard of this?
Refresh my memory. Sounds familiar.
There's no way to prove it, but there's an area on the Giza complex, on the plateau, which used to have a black pyramid. Black because of the stones that they used. And the speaker, I'm not going to give too many of the details away because I wouldn't want to encourage what I did, which was not. It's the first time I'm telling this story.
By the way, season two, you were right. Season two, you know more than I do.
That's all I was, yeah. It doesn't matter, but I follow Michael's work very closely. He's an inspirational person, unbelievable. And one of the speakers on his show was talking about the Black Pyramid and its location on the Giza Plateau. And he was quite detailed, and he gave some instructions on where to go, where to look for it. And if you know exactly where to go, you can see that there was something there. There's an area that's very distinct. It doesn't look like any of the other places. If I remember rightly, it's near Khafre. It's in front of Khafre, and the whole plateau there is very flat. And when you stand back from it, because that was the first thing I was told to do, was to get actually quite far away from the pyramids. Don't go straight into them. Get some perspective so that you can see where this pyramid was. And so I'm looking at the Great Pyramid, and it's incredible when you look at that, because on one side, I just remember being entranced by the sight of it. One side was all blue. The sky was doing something to my vision, and the other side was red. And I know about the magnetism above the pyramid, and so I kept looking for signs of that. I kept trying to feel what the place was telling me, because I know that all of the ancient relics on the earth are embedded with coding, which I'm led to believe awakens DNA inside all of us. It's like looking at a book and you read it and it changes your mind because it's giving you some information. And this happened in several places during the trip, and Egypt was one of them. And so I found where the Black Pyramid, or where I thought it was. And I know that if you go to one of the edges and then walk at a certain angle, it leads you to the second Sphinx. And I wasn't certain exactly that it would take me there, because as I went to the corner of where I thought the old Black Pyramid was, I walked at a certain angle and I just kept walking. And it starts to go downhill. And before I knew it, I was on what looked like a construction zone. I went over the gate and the security tape, and quite a bad boy doing that, but I'd do it again. I kept walking, and it's an excavation site. And I get into the middle, and there's these five Egyptian guys, workers, and they look at me like stunned, like as if to say, what are you doing here? And I came over to them, and I waved a bit of money, and I said, it's okay. Like, I know what I'm here for. Let me look around. So one of the guys could speak English. And I think he took a shine to me because I was a bit of a chancer, a bit of a merchant, and he knew that I shouldn't be there, but I was. And he knew that I probably had heard that there was a second Sphinx. And what happened then was, this is the first time I'm telling this story to anyone, was strange. He took me to a tunnel. There's a small area that they'd been excavating. And he showed me this beautiful engraving inside. As soon as you get into the tunnel, as soon as you get in there, all of the daylight is still on it, so it's not dark at this point. There's this beautiful engraving on the wall of a boy and a girl, and these hieroglyphics between them. And then he led me down, and at this point I started to become almost fearful, almost concerned, because I started to think to myself, I'm in an off-limits area alone. Nobody knows where I am. I don't speak Arabic. It's a bit rusty. And I could be being led anywhere here. I'm a tourist. But I trusted my instinct and I kept walking. And as we're walking down this tunnel, this is where it started to get very strange for me. He points to me and he says, look. And I turned and everything was dark. Like there was like another shoot off this tunnel, like another passageway. And I went there, and as I'm walking there, he turned me, and I'm looking through a very, very small slat in the wall, like there's like a gap, and I look through it, and it's like a blackout for a second. It was like light, and like just 2 seconds, my eye closed, I stopped, and like something had changed. It was like just looking at light. At this point, I start to get a little bit freaked out, thinking, okay, this is getting a bit too this is a bit too much now. We turn around. He shows me where there's rubble, like on another part of the chamber that they'd been excavating. You could see because they had some some like metal, like modern metal that had been like put in to separate stones. And he showed me this and he's like, would you like to go down? And I'm looking there and it's absolutely treacherous. There's like rubble and rock and they've been moving things.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasradio.com. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. Subscribe now. To listen to the rest and all of our exclusive material, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or join the Veritas Plus family by subscribing. Click on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for focused life force energy. Get a 15-day free trial today with no credit card required. And if you want to get in touch with Mel, want to be a guest on this radio program, have a guest suggestion, or have feedback, just click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. Now, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or subscribe to listen to the rest of the interview. You don't want to miss it. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at VeritasRadio.com.